We are back in the Torah. The final reading of Mishpatim, the rulings. In Exodus chapter 23, verse 26. In your land, your women will not miscarry or be barren, and you will live out the full span of your lives. So hear the promise of extended life and fertility. I will send terror of me ahead of you, God is saying to his people, throwing into confusion all the people to whom you come, and I will make all your enemies turn their backs on you. I will send hornets ahead of you to drive out the Hivites, Canaanites, Hittites from before you. So here the promises of the future, a future and a hope, extended life, fertility, protection, and these winged creatures that he would send ahead to drive out their enemies. The ancient rabbis had a legend about these supernatural winged insects. They called them tzira. From the Talmud, it says this was a kind of flying insect which would strike people in their eyes, inject venom into them, and they would die. Now, the tzira are but a legend, and yet they sound eerily similar to the winged creatures in Revelation chapter 9, which says, out of the smoke onto the earth came locusts, and they were given power like the power scorpions have on earth, obviously not a normal flying insect. They were instructed not to harm the grass or any green plant or any tree, but only the people who did not have the seal of God on their foreheads. The locusts were not allowed to kill them, only to inflict pain on them for 5 months. In those days, people will seek death, but will not find it. They will long to die, but death will elude them. So could this be an early appearance of those winged creatures from Revelation here in the Exodus, going ahead of the people of Israel? The tzira. Verse 29, I will not drive them out from before you in 1 year, which would cause the land to become desolate and the wild animals too many for you. I will drive them out from before you gradually, until you have grown in number and can take possession of the land. So God taking care to bring about his work within his people in his own unique timing. Why is his timing important? It's because we are often not ready for what he is going to do, and there is time of preparation. They were to grow in number, and they wouldn't have been prepared had he driven out their enemies prior. So he does things in his time for our sake. Verse 31, I will set your boundaries from the Sea of Suf to the Sea of the Philistine, and from the desert to the Euphrates River. For I will hand the inhabitants of the land over to you, and you will drive them out from before you. You are not to make a covenant with them or with their gods. They are not to live in your land. Otherwise, they will make you sin against me by ensnaring you to serve their gods. Here, we learn that God desires separation. Come out from them and be separate, God would say. And this is a physical and spiritual separation. Today, within the new covenant, we are told to be separate spiritually. For what does light have in common with darkness? So there are multiple lessons being laid out here, not just the military side of driving out the enemy, but it's a spiritual picture. Not making a covenant with them, lest we worship their gods. Shaul would later say, do not be unequally yoked with a non-believer. But what does light have in common with darkness? Verse 1 of chapter 24, to Moshe, Adonai said, come up to Adonai, you, Aaron, Nadav, Avihu, and 70 of the leaders of Israel, prostrate yourselves at a distance. While Moshe alone approaches Adonai, the others are not to approach, and the people are not to go up with him. Moshe came and told the people everything Adonai had said, including all the rulings. The people answered with one voice, we will obey every word Adonai has spoken. Remember, we spoke about the willingness of the people of Israel, that God had already known that the other nations on earth would not receive his commandments to do them. But the people of Israel were willing participants. We will obey every word, they said. Moshe wrote down all the words of Adonai. He rose early in the morning, built an altar at the base of the mountain, and set upright 12 large stones to represent the 12 tribes of Israel. He sent the young men of the people of Israel to offer burnt offerings and sacrifice peace offerings of oxen to Adonai. Moshe took half of the blood, verse 6, and put it in basins. The other half of the blood he splashed against the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it aloud, so that the people could hear, and they responded, everything that Adonai has spoken, we will do and obey. Moshe took the blood, sprinkled it on the people, and said, this is the blood of the covenant, which Adonai has made with you in accordance with all these words. It brings to mind the announcement of the new covenant by Yeshua, who said, this cup, as he spoke at the last Seder, the last Passover Seder, otherwise known as the Last Supper. He said, this cup is the new covenant ratified by my blood, which is being poured out for you. So we see Moshe explaining the blood of the covenant, the original covenant, and then later Yeshua, the new covenant, in his own blood. Verse 9, Moshe, Aaron, Nadav, Avihu, and 70 of the elders went up, and they saw the God of Israel. Under his feet was something like a sapphire stone, pavement as clear as the sky itself. The ancient rabbis believed that this was a sapphire brick, not just a stone, but in the shape of a brick, and that it had been set there in front of the throne of God, that through the bondage of the children of Israel, through their time in slavery, he would remember Israel's difficulty and suffering, and that they were enslaved in the making of bricks. Verse 11, he did not reach out his hand against those notables of Israel. On the contrary, they saw God, even as they were eating and drinking. So they're approaching God, and God has received them. They sit and they eat and they drink. It reminds me of the future table of the Lord that Yeshua spoke of, that we will sit with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom at his table, eating and drinking. Verse 12, Adonai said to Moshe, come up to me on the mountain and stay there. I will give you the stone tablets with the Torah and the mitzvot, the commandments. I have written on them so that you can teach them. Moshe got up also, Yehoshua, his assistant, Joshua, that is. And Moshe went up onto the mountain of God. To the leaders, he said, stay here for us until we come back to you. See, Aaron and Hur are with you. Whoever has a problem should turn to them. Aaron, of course, the brother of Moses, Hur, the nephew of Moses, Miriam's son. Moshe went up onto the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of Adonai stayed on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. On the seventh day, he called to Moshe out of the cloud. The special message and calling from God come on the seventh day. Set apart, that day is. To the people of Israel, the glory of Adonai looked like a raging fire on the top of the mountain. Verse 18, Moshe entered the cloud and went up on the mountain. He was on the mountain 40 days and nights. This is Torah 101 Daily.